This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz.
Welcome to the Weekly Hopwire. New Zealand farmers are no strangers to pressure from climate targets, fertiliser costs and energy uncertainty. But around the world, agriculture is facing many of the same challenges. In Europe, one solution gaining attention is turning farm waste into energy through biogas systems, producing renewable gas and fertilizer at the same time. In this episode, we look at how anaerobic digestion is being used overseas, what it means for farm resilience and soil health, and whether ideas like this could have relevance here in New Zealand as we balance productivity, emissions and energy security. Guest host Patrick Del Fossi picks up from here.
In February 2022, Russia's full-scale invasion of Ukraine suddenly exposed European agriculture's dependence on Russian synthetic fertilizers, which are produced from methane, natural gas. To reduce this dependence, a solution is attracting growing interest in agriculture: biogases production. The process involves recycling organic agricultural waste by fermenting it in a digester to obtain gases, biomethane and carbon dioxide, as well as a natural and renewable fertilizer called digestate. What is the current scale of biogas production in European agriculture? What are the advantages and disadvantages for farmers? And what about the impact of digestate on soil quality and biology? Let's find out. My first guest heads the climate change team within the European Commission's Directorate General for Agriculture and Rural Development, DG Agri. Since 2012, he has also been the EU's climate negotiator for agriculture at the COP climate summits. Hello, Hervik Rana.
Thank you for inviting me.
How widespread is biogas production in European agriculture at the moment?
Europe is a leading producer of biogas. There's a report from 2025. It's a report of the European Biogas Association. It shows that there has been a modest growth on biogas and biomethane production. So it went from 21.7 billion cubic meters to 22 billion cubic meters in 1 year. Currently, the production of all EU member states would be the equivalent of 6% of the natural gas consumption in the EU. So we have several thousand farms that utilize biogas digesters across Europe. Let's say that most of them would be situated in Germany, Italy and France. 2 to 5% of farms in Europe are equipped with biogas digesters or are involved in sending their organic waste to the production of biomethane.
What are the European targets for biogas production in agriculture?
We have set some ambitious targets to increase the biogas production. Firstly, to enhance our energy security and to reduce greenhouse gas emissions. And at the same time, limiting trade-offs between food and feed production. We actually want to boost the production to 35 billion cubic meters by 2030, which is very ambitious.
This represents a 59% increase compared to 2024. Why aim for such a significant increase?
We are motivated by the need to decrease our dependency on imports, especially from Russia and Belarus, following the European sanctions that led to increased prices of chemical imports from these regions. Biogas production is also seen as a way to utilize waste efficiently and to reduce our reliance on fossil fuels and also helping to move towards a more circular economy.
How does biogas production fit in with the Common Agricultural Policy?
The Common Agricultural Policy supports the biogas production. One, through its focus on greenhouse gas reduction and energy efficiency, and also by promoting the circular economy. Biogas contributes to energy independence, and by producing biogas, we also have fertilizer production that improves nutrient management because we recycle agricultural waste and use it to improve soil fertility. And we do that by using the digestate. And according to the EBA, we generated about 25 million tons of digestate in 2024. So we have a potential to replace 17% more or less of the EU's nitrogen-based fertilizers, so the chemical fertilizers that come partly from outside of Europe. The digestate could actually replace 65% of this imported chemical fertilizers by 2040. We support it also to reduce costs for farmers. And in general, CAP policies and subsidies encourage sustainable practices. And of course, biogas production is part of that.
Hervik, we'll continue this conversation a little later. But first, I'd like to introduce you to Thomas Kahle, a German cereal farmer who has been passionate about the potential of anaerobic digestion for 25 years. And he's just taken up his position as head of the German Biogas Association. He welcomed me in the snow to his fermentation plant, which is located next to his farm in Baden-Württemberg.
Schön, dass Sie hier sind.
I'm delighted to have you here. Welcome to Fischbach, a small town in southern Germany near Heilbronn. And here we are at our biogas plant.
My attention is drawn to three enormous green igloos, each the size of a circus tent. The least I can say is that I did not expect such a large-scale production.
Yes, what you see there are three large fermenters where the biomass is delivered. It is heated to the correct temperature, and the small bacteria that live at these temperatures then produce biogas in these fermenters. There are portholes that allow us to see inside. Look inside. You can see how it bubbles. What we see here is the delivery area. This is where the biomass is delivered. For example, we can see manure from a horse farm, and behind it, the dark material is grape malt that we received in the autumn. Everything goes into the large fermenter first. That's about 40 tons of biomass per day, which goes in there. And is processed by the bacteria. And then about 10,000 cubic meters of biogas are released per day for the engines of the power generator.
What Thomas sells back to the grid is not methane itself, but the electricity that biogas can be used to produce. It's enough to supply 10,000 homes. He benefits from a guaranteed price that is higher than the market price. And there's more, because here, nothing goes to waste.
The engine of the power generator is water-cooled. You can see the red pipe where the hot water goes out and the blue pipe where the cooled water comes back in. That is the heat accumulator, which stores 70,000 liters of hot water.
This water is now used to heat the entire village. As for the fermentation residues, they're separated into a liquid element that can be used as it is to fertilize agricultural soils, and a solid element that is recycled into high value-added special fertilizers and compost for private customers. It's the culmination of 10 years of research.
This is a fantastic project. It was funded by the state of Baden-Württemberg and co-funded by the EU. It's a research project that aimed to extract individual nutrients, nitrogen and phosphorus, from fermentation products. It started out as a very small project, but it's now the first industrial-scale facility. The initial idea was to sell the different nutrients directly, but we have now realized that it makes much more sense to use these individual nutrients to manufacture our special fertilizers. This means that we manufacture fertilizers for vegetables with nitrogen, we make lone fertilizers with even more nitrogen and add more phosphorus to flower fertilizers, as flowers need more phosphorus. This allows us to transform the original universal fertilizer into special fertilizers, but all from our own recycled nutrients.
We continue our discussion in his office, which is heated by the digesters, of course. I want to understand how biogas production fits into the agricultural activity of his region.
The biogas unit belongs to me. I created it on my own and I operate it myself. But I work in cooperation with farmers because I buy their manure. I transform it into electricity and they recover the fermentation products in the form of valuable fertilizers for their land. So it's a win-win situation. For spreading, we also have special machines which allow the fertilizer to be spread very close to the ground. This is a relatively expensive technique, so the farmers are delighted that I can offer them this service.
To carry out all these tasks, in addition to his work in the fields, Thomas now employs five people. For him, the potential of anaerobic digestion as a complementary activity in agriculture is immense, but it is still underexploited.
In Denmark, all manure and slurry is consistently used in biogas plants. In Germany, we have a quota of around 35%. From an environmental and energy perspective, it's essential that we increase this figure at least to 70 or 80%.
But with the profitability of anaerobic digestion threatened by stagnating guaranteed electricity prices and rising production costs, many German farmers say they want to throw in the towel.
Unlike wind and solar power, biogas can be stored. It is the form of energy that can fill the gaps caused by periods without wind or sun. It is also a huge challenge because this transition to storage facilities requires very costly investments. This is where the sector is somewhat divided, because many farmers say they cannot afford to take this big leap towards modernization. The economic situation would be much better if environmental performance, so reducing emissions through the use of manure and decreasing the use of mineral fertilizers, was rewarded.
In this context, what advice would you give to a farmer considering anaerobic digestion?
Ich glaube, das wäre mein dringendster Appell, dass wir das auf jeden Fall versuchen, eine Kooperation zu machen, weil entsprechend...
I think for me the main priority should be to definitely try to cooperate, because biogas has become very, very demanding in terms of transport, technology and everything else. But of course, the most important thing is to learn how to deal with new challenges, face them head on and keep yourself informed. I myself often attended events and constantly kept myself informed at trade fairs, training courses, seminars, and also through exchanges with other colleagues. That is the greatest benefit and upside you can get from exchanging ideas with relevant colleagues and specialists.
Before leaving Thomas and having hoped to record some animal sounds in the pigsty, I ask him if he misses being around animals, which earns me an unexpected reply.
Bacteria are also small animals.
Many thanks to Thomas Kahler and sharing his thoughts. I'm back in the studio with my guest from DG Agri, Herwig Rana. You have just heard Thomas Kahler's concerns about the future of anaerobic digestion in German agriculture. What does the Common Agricultural Policy have in store to encourage farmers to add anaerobic digestion to their activities?
So under the Common Agriculture Policy, we have foreseen to provide financial incentives that support the farmers when they want to invest in biogas production. We have training schemes and technical support that can be supported financially. And then you also have funds from the Agricultural Fund for Rural Development that can facilitate the adoption of renewable energy technologies, and that includes biogas.
Before working on this, I must admit that I had never heard the word digestate before. I wanted to explore the subject a little further from the perspective of the impact that digestates have on agricultural soil. As it happens, the French Environment and Energy Management Agency commissioned a study on this very subject, which was published in 2024. The study was led by Sophie Borjeteau-Sade, whom I reached on the phone. Hello, Sophie Borjeteau-Sade, and welcome.
Thank you for having me.
You're a professor at the Institut Agro Dijon, and you conduct your research within the framework of the Agroecology Joint Research Unit in Dijon. To begin with, could you briefly explain what your study, the Meta Biosol study, consisted of?
So the MetaBiosol project aimed to assess the impact of anaerobic digestion digestates on the biological quality of soils. To do this, we carried out a three-part project, a laboratory project where we crossed different types of soil with different types of digestate. We then went out into the fields, but to experimental sites where we tested the effect of repeated digestate application on the biological quality of the soil. And the third part, we actually built a network of farms that rely on digestates, and we took soil samples from farmers and carried out an assessment of the biological quality of their soils.
What are the main lessons you've learned from this impact assessment?
When we set up the MetaBiosol project, we realized that there are as many types of digestate as there are anaerobic digestion units. What's more, the digestate you produce at the beginning of the year will potentially be very different from what you produce at the end of the year. So that's the first thing to bear in mind. Secondly, this impact will actually depend on the type of soil. We also realized during the project that assessing the impact of digestate alone does not make sense, because digestate is associated with a combination of practices. And in fact, some practices may offset each other in terms of soil biology, for example. If I'm aware that applying digestate to my plot does not add as much carbon as I think it does, I can occasionally say to myself, okay, I'll leave the crop residues underground, and this time I won't put them in my biogas digestate. That way, I'll be adding a little more carbon. I can also add diversity to my crop rotation. So there you have it. The key messages are, not all digestates are created equal. It also depends on the type of soil. Some soils are more fragile, such as sandy soils, but that's not necessarily a bad thing, because we can use compensatory practices.
Despite the uncertainties that remain, do you think it makes sense to use digestate rather than mineral fertilizer?
I think so. It's better than synthetic fertilization. Both from an environmental and economic point of view, based on a physical and chemical analysis of the input. But completely replacing it, I'm quite skeptical, because it actually requires a certain number of biogas digesters in a given area. And these biogas digesters need to be fed to produce digestate. And that's where things could potentially go wrong. In other words, I'm going to change the use of the land to run a biogas digester. L'usage des terres pour
faire tourner un méthaniseur. Are you referring to intermediate energy crops?
The project questions the use of intermediate crops for energy production in biogas digesters. On paper, this is supposed to be a virtuous practice. In fact, after talking with our farmers, we get the impression that the plant biomass produced is being used intensively. So what is virtuous at the outset ultimately contributes to depleting the soil of carbon and potentially impacting soil life. We are going to try to propose a research project on this and enrich the network of farms that we have set up in MetaBiosol to try to better address this issue and obtain scientific answers to it.
One last question. Did your study determine whether digestates could carry pathogens into the soil?
In the project, pathogens didn't really concern us, in the sense that we didn't find huge quantities of pathogens in the digestates that were spread. But we would need to do more studies to really make sure there are no issues on that front.
Many thanks, Sophie Borjto-Sade, for your insights.
Thank you for your invitation.
Hervig Rana from DG Agri. How is the use of digestates in agriculture regulated?
So we regulate the digestate use, so that's regulation EU 2019-1009, and that sets the standards for placing these fertilizing products on the market. We need to ensure that the digestate meets safety and quality criteria, once for nutrient content, for contaminants and pathogens. So for example, if you have a lot of animals that are under medical treatment, then you need to ensure that you don't have leftovers of medication that you then put on the soil, and to avoid any interaction with soil bacteria and to influence soil health in that way. Could also be other contaminants, of course. So that's why we need to make sure that it's safe to use.
And what measures can prevent energy crops from replacing crops intended for food and feed?
Well, there's a prerogative in our agriculture policy that is always the primary one, which is to produce food and feed so that we can ensure that we can feed our population. So there are regulations in place to ensure that this is not endangered.
Let's recap. The potential is there, the safeguards are there, and the solution makes sense environmentally, economically, and strategically. So, of course, the question I ask myself is, why is biogas still so little known in rural areas of Europe? I went to the European Biogas Association, the EBA, in Brussels to search for answers. I met with Lucille Sever, senior policy advisor at the EBA.
Bonjour, bienvenue chez EBA. Bah, je vous propose qu'on aille s'installer juste à côté.
Lucille, thanks for coming on Food for Europe. First of all, I have a question about language. We generally refer to biogas digesters in English in relation to methane production, but that's a bit simplistic, isn't it? What term do you use at EBA?
The biogas system, it's more than just about producing a renewable energy. Here we really have also additional co-products, so the digestate that can be used as an organic fertilizer, but also the biogenic CO2 that can be used for various industrial end uses. So for instance, it can be used to power greenhouses or in the manufacturing of beers.
I'm trying to understand what is holding back the deployment of biogas systems in Europe. As an expert in the field, what is holding back the rollout of anaerobic digestion in the continent? Are we afraid of what we don't know?
There are indeed several myths about biogas, which is a bit unfortunate. For instance, odors. It's important to clarify that the digestion process itself is completely odorless. Most other issues actually come from the handling of the feedstocks. So there are many proactive measures to manage and to minimize odors at every stage. Then another concern that we can hear about quite often is the increase in road traffic. Here, what we've shown is that actually for an average biomethane plant, traffic typically amounts to around less than one truck per hour, even during the busiest time. Then soil pollution. So indeed, you need to be very careful to apply basically the right dose of digestate at the appropriate time with the right machinery. And maybe another concern also can be linked to explosion risks or safety hazards in general. So here I would say that, of course, there are already generally national rules to follow on this. Developers need really to be proactive in addressing all these concerns. But to give maybe a positive perspective on this, I recently read a national survey that was conducted in Denmark in 2024. The survey showed that people living near a biogas plant actually have a more positive perception of biogas than those who don't.
What are your expectations of the European Commission?
One of the tricky things with the biogas is that it sits right at the crossroads of energy, agriculture, climate, environment, and of course industry as well, which makes it more complex to deal with. And because of that, biogas and its co-product end up being covered by a huge number of different rules. We calculated actually, and it's more than 50 pieces of legislation at EU level. So there are still many, many barriers across policies. Digestate often actually ends up being the main barriers to biogas development. Digestate has to be applied to land, but it is still not recognized for the value it actually has, largely because it's not well known or well understood. Finally, of course, I would say capital grants to support the development of on-farm biogas. It's important to acknowledge that these projects are capital intensive. Investment support is always essential. The common agricultural policy budget is going to be reduced as it was announced. Member states will also need to step up if they want to continue developing biogas. And more broadly, the Commission also has a role in raising awareness among member states about the benefits of biogases. And it's why also this initiative like this podcast, for instance, are very, very important.
Lucille Sever, thank you.
My pleasure.
Hervik, to conclude, perhaps a word on the administrative simplification that the EBA wants to see.
Well, the word simplification is a trend word at the moment. It's always good to check if local, regional, or national methods to implement European regulations are streamlined enough if all the information is passed on to the actors on the ground. In all member states, you will have people in the ministries and regional administrations that are there to provide the information that's needed. But also the biogas associations and also the EBA have to play their role there.
And with that, we'll draw this to a close. Thank you very much, Hervé Graner.
Thank you for having me.
That was a look at how biogas and anaerobic digestion are reshaping parts of European agriculture and raising some interesting questions about energy, fertilizer, independence, and circular farming systems. While New Zealand's farming landscape is different, the pressures around emissions, nutrient management, and on-farm efficiency are very real here too, and it is worth watching how solutions develop overseas. As always, we'll keep bringing you the conversations that matter to farmers and rural businesses across the country. Thanks for listening, and we'll catch you next time.
This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.